Hallelujah. All our life and all eternity, we will sing how good our God is. Praise the Lord. Amen. You cannot have enough of that, praising God and worshiping Him, giving Him the glory that is due unto His name. We'll turn to the scriptures this morning. Shall we turn to, anybody remember what we're talking about? Church, it's His house. And we are doing the subtitle, Back to the Basics. Back to the Basics. Praise the Lord. So we're going to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, 15, and I will read a couple more verses. I'll read the first verse that we've been reading. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Reading a few verses from the first book of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Praise God. Now jumping all the way to 26, 27, and 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle of all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them and said, God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Father, we are grateful to you for your word. We pray that you will speak into our lives. Every resistance to the preaching of God's word, we bind them in the name of Jesus. This morning we take victory. Victory belongs to you. They overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. So be it. We ask that you would release unction upon us, O Lord, upon me as we minister, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Praise the Lord. Going back to the basics. Going back to the basics. We started saying last week, and the week before and before, that we as the church of the living God, as the pillar of truth, we have to declare the truth, display the truth, and defend the truth. Basically, God wants us to live out the truth. Praise the Lord. The truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is not the making of men. It's not the making of God's people either. Praise the Lord. It has its origin in the heart of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The truth of God's word, the truth of the church of Jesus Christ is both precious and powerful. Praise God. It is the bedrock of the foundation. It is the bedrock of foundation of the church. What is the truth? Jesus is the cornerstone. Praise the Lord. And it is being built up upon the apostles, the prophets, and each one of us who are the living stones. We have been added into this structure. Praise the Lord. The truth of God's word, it cannot be squandered down. It cannot be watered down. It cannot be diluted. It cannot be in any manner compromised or traded for any philosophical or cultural fads. Throughout the centuries, there has been philosophical and cultural fads that came and disappeared. Everything comes and goes. But the word of God reminds us, the word of God is established in heaven forever. Praise the Lord. And this truth, the church of Jesus Christ has to declare, display, and defend it. Every local church must be a place where the gospel is declared, where the gospel is displayed, where the gospel is defended. It ought to be lived out by its members, each and every one of us. What a lofty ideals and standards God has placed upon us. If it's simply based on our ability, we cannot pull it. But God has put His Spirit within us, which enables us, propels us to do the very will of God concerning us. Praise the Lord. Going back to the basics is very important, because Genesis, or the book of the Bible, they teach us of our origin, who we are, where do we come from, what is our destiny, what does God intend to do through the human race. Praise the Lord. What is God's plan concerning redemption? How we ought to respond to the plan and the purpose of God. So for that, we need to go back to the manual, the original manual, the Bible. Praise the Lord. Last week, we already said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It reminds us that time itself has its inception from God. He's the one who rolled out time. Time is not from any watch company, but God. Praise the Lord. Space is created by God. Energy is created by God. Power originates from God. Praise the Lord. Matter originates from God. God is the source of everything that you see, everything that is visible and invisible. Paul, writing to the Colossians, makes that very clear. So when we look at the scripture makes it very clearly. It talks very clearly about the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage, what gender is. It talks about the importance of family. Everything is mentioned in the scripture. Praise the Lord. We will understand that God is the one who has designed family. Praise the Lord. God is the one who has designed marriage. There is such an assault on this institution. Praise the Lord. Family. Praise the Lord. The church is under attack. The family is under attack. And the church of the living God has to rise up and stand to the truth that is mentioned in the scriptures. We also reminded the church there are cultural shapers around us that tend to shape our thinking, our perspectives. They shape and they mold the way we think and we reason. Unless we are grounded in God's word, we will not be able to refute or defend the truth that is mentioned in the world. Praise the Lord. The cultural shapers try to infiltrate the church of the living God. It tries to infiltrate and influence the doctrines and the dogmas of the church. Praise the Lord. We understand that this country has its beginning in a manner that claims to be on God's word. Praise the Lord. Talking about the Pilgrim Fathers had a noble desire, and they did the very best, as well as defining the roles, the constitution of this country. Our contemporary culture is shifting from the truth that once was established. We see a slow, steady shift that has taken place, where now the church seems to be influenced by the society around us. As this influence seeps into the body of Christ, into the members of the church of Jesus Christ, we tend to look more and more like the world when we try to adapt the practices of the world. Praise the Lord. Yes, church is the body of Christ. Church is the body of Christ. The design of the church is designed by God Himself. Praise the Lord. That's why it's called the church, the household of the living God. Praise the Lord. The designer is God Himself. At the same time, when we are in this world, there is an element or a face of church as an institution. But the church has to safeguard the foundational truth and the foundational doctrines of God's word. Praise the Lord. Even as we understand that we have to resist the cultural pull that comes from the world. Praise the Lord. We can, as much as we want to become friendly, praise the Lord, we do not want to lose the very essence of who and what we are in and through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. The final product, the church, ought to look like what Jesus envisions. The church is the bride of Jesus Christ. Listen, the church is the bride of Jesus Christ. That's the picture that the scripture uses to show who the church is. Now imagine the church, okay, as a bride. Imagine you are seated in a wedding, okay, and you see the bride walking down the aisle, slowly, steadily, elegantly. You see the bride is dressed. How she is dressed, she looks elegant. She looks beautiful. Praise the Lord. She has her gown that looks beautiful, and the bride looks beautiful in that dress. Now imagine, Jesus Christ looks at the church as His bride. Praise the Lord. What is expected of the bride? The bride is expected to live up to the expectation of the bridegroom, who is Jesus Christ, adorned in holiness, adorned in the robe of righteousness, adorned in the garment of salvation, adorned in the garment of praise, adorned, decked with good deeds. Praise the Lord. That's the expectation of Christ or God about the church, Jesus Christ. You cannot look like the world. You cannot act like the world. You cannot carry yourself like the world. Not if you expect to be the bride of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. The church, the bride of Christ, needs to look like His bride, not like Babylon, which is a picture of the world, as it's depicted in the book of Revelation. Quite often, the church starts resisting the worldly pull. But what the church does is, slowly and steadily, the church puts its guard down, because the enemy is very slick. The enemy is constantly scheming, plotting the demise of the church. It doesn't do it by one strike. It is a slow, gradual progression into defilement. Praise the Lord. When there is a resistance, how does the enemy implement its plan against the body of Christ? It uses many devices. One of the devices that the enemy slowly uses is accommodation. Praise the Lord. Using alternatives, which does not look grossly wrong. Accommodations, alternatives, compromises, which does not look grossly wrong in itself. But the enemy is very slick, because that is only the beginning. Praise the Lord. When the enemy slides in
alternatives that sounds very rational and reasonable, we need to understand eventually a colossal degrading of faith values and moral values which the Bible upholds, it seeps into the body of Christ. We, at this juncture, we know that how things can change rapidly, because you and I live in a time where things are changing rapidly. Think about it. You know, what constitutes marriage, what constitutes family, is being redefined by the world. The world defines what marriage is, what family is. But the world, it has redefined what constitutes marriage and what constitutes family. Amazing, isn't it? We live in a time where there is so much promotion of an alternate lifestyle. Now we have the LGBTQAI+. More than 50 different genders, and it's still counting. That's what the plus means. Still counting. Now, how does things go so far? It starts slowly and it starts steadily. Praise the Lord. When we read the scripture, we understand, as we read, God created them male and female. When you take the narrative of God's word out by saying it's old-fashioned, it's an old book, it is out of fashion, it is not up to date, what happens is we shake the very foundation of human race. We shake the very foundation of what God has divinely designed, defined, and decreed in God's word. That's why it's important that we uphold the truth of God's word, not only speaking about it, but living it out in our homes and in our families. Praise the Lord. What constitutes the church? You and me, we are the body of Christ. We are the church of the living God. Each and every one of you are important. Praise God. How we conduct our personal life, how we build our families, how we take care of our unit, family units, how we understand what God's word defines as right and wrong, will determine our destiny, our future, and our children's. We cannot simply wink at the lie that the enemy is peddling. It will be very costly. None of us dare to say what Hezekiah said. Do you know what Hezekiah said? When the prophet came to Hezekiah and told him about the doom and the destruction that was about to come upon the children of God because of his disobedience, this is how Hezekiah responded. He said, "Well, at least it's not going to happen in my lifetime." No, that should not be our response. It is the responsibility of every parent who is listening to me. It is the responsibility of every grandparent listening to me to transmit the timeless truth of God's word into our next generation. Every link is absolutely important. The link from each generation to another. God intends that each generation shall enumerate the works of God to the next generation. It starts by transmitting the truth of God's word. It's starts by saying what God says about us, you and me, about marriage, about family. That's what the Bible starts with. And you and I ought to come to the basics, not simply nod and say, that's what the world is doing. We don't care. We should care because our children are living in this world. Unless we enforce, praise the Lord, unless we build them up, unless we put deeper, stronger foundation on God's word, they will be shaken because the media has unleashing its power. The institution, the educational institution, the worldly systems are peddling. The system of the world, the system of the world is diabolically opposed to God's system. You and I, as God's children, we need to build our lives, define our lives, design our lives on the foundation of God's word, lest our generation, posterity, they slip into this world and be caught up by what the world promotes. Praise the Lord. We understand, as the scripture we read in Genesis chapter 1, 24 to 26 and on, praise the Lord, that heterosexuality is a divine decree of God. Praise the Lord. It is sanctified and blessed by God Himself. God Himself pronounced and said, it is good. Praise the Lord. What is not good? Man should not be alone. It is not good that man should be alone. Therefore, I will make a suitable helpmate for him. And he created Eve for Adam. And he looked at them and he blessed them. He pronounced a blessing upon them. And he mandated, gave them a decree, gave them a purpose. The purpose being what? Do what? Subdue, have dominion, and multiply. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We cannot downplay the narratives that are established by God. You know what the world does? It tries to downplay the narratives established by God. How do they downplay the narratives established by God? Simple statements that sounds rational, that sounds reasonable, that sounds legitimate. Praise the Lord. Slowly, that's how it creeps into our society. Praise the Lord. Think about it. The other day, I was talking to a nurse who works in the education system. And she said, I cannot continue here. I said, what is the reason? Why can't you continue? She says that it is unbelievable. Teenagers walk into the nurse's office and ask for condoms because the school and our educational system is promoting what? Not sacred sex, but safe sex. Sounds okay, right? The school system, the institutions are promoting safe sex. Now, that sounds safe. Safe, it's safe. We want everybody to be safe. Well, what does the Bible promote? The Bible promotes sacred sex. Intimacy between a husband and wife is ordered and ordained by God. It's approved and established by God. There is nothing unholy about it. That's why the Bible writes and makes it very clear in the book, in the epistle to the Hebrews, marriage is honorable in all and marriage bed kept pure. But what does the world do? The world is promoting something else which looks kosher, which looks legitimate, which looks reasonable. Praise the Lord. When life is, there is no morals and values in life, then we have to settle for the second best. God doesn't want you and me to settle for the second best. He wants you and me to settle for the very best, the number one. And the Bible says it is what? Sacred sex, intimacy between husband and wife. Well, we have developed coined terms like consenting adults. Consenting adults. We talk about liberty and freedom. Of course, we thank God because we live in a land. God bless America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. We thank the Lord for the freedom that we have in this land. The freedom, the right to exercise our freedom. The freedom to speak, the freedom of speech, all these things are good. But freedom that is outside of God's word would only bring destruction.
Praise the Lord.
Consenting adults. In other words, two consenting adults can do whatever they want as long as they are adults and they are consenting. That's not what the scripture says. That's not what the scripture says. Freedom has to be defined within the framework of God's word. When we define freedom outside the frame of God's word, we go wrong.
Praise the Lord.
Imagine, I have a driver's license. My driver's license, which is issued by the state, gives me the right to operate the class of automobile that I have been approved for. Now imagine, you take the driver's license, put it in your pocket, and you get in the seat behind the wheel, and you start driving. As you are driving, you see the speed limits. As you are driving, you come to the traffic light. You see the red light. What is expected of you when you see the red light? What is expected of you? But what if I say, I have a driver's license. The state gave me the right to operate my vehicle. I don't need to stop anywhere. I don't need to stop at stop sign. I don't need to yield at yield sign. I don't need to follow any rules. What happens? You're endangering your own life and you're also endangering the life of others. So freedom has to be defined within the context of what we are talking about. The freedom that the Bible talks about. The Bible says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. When the Son, Jesus, set you and me free from the clutches of sin, from the clutches of Satan, from the hands of the strong enemy, he redefines our lives and brings us into a freedom in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean that you break every borders and boundary that God has set in his word.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Freedom does not equate to doing whatever we want.
Praise the Lord.
The other day I was conversing with a young man. And we were talking about, you know, marriage and choices in life. So I was telling him that choices in life has the potential to make us or break us, bend us or mend us, bless us or mess us. It will. Of all the choices that we make in our life, the greatest number one choice that we make is regarding the salvation of our souls, because it determines our destiny and it affects our eternity forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And then next to salvation, the most important thing, a decision that we make, is choosing the right life mate. Why? Because that affects the rest of our life. So everyone who is seeking and searching, You ought to be prayerful, seeking the mind of the Lord, preparing yourself, asking the Lord for direction. So I was talking to the young man and I was telling him about this, and he said, well, Pastor, how specific we got to be? I said, as specific as you need to. You ask the Lord to direct you, guide you. That doesn't mean you turn the common sense switch off. No, that's not what it means. I said, keep the common sense switch on. You need to have the foundations of God's word in place. You need to build on that and keep your eyes open. So he said that he was talking to somebody and somebody advised him that you don't need to be, you don't need to be so careful. You can't be like so specific. You need to have, you know, liberty in these matters, and gave him an analogy, and he shared the analogy with me. And that was a very interesting analogy. He said, well, the analogy is this, that, you know, when you go with your dad, with your father to the playground, you don't ask him, can I use the swing or can I use the slide? And he looked at me, and I was like, looked at me too. I mean, that's true. I mean, you go to the park, you don't go up to your dad and ask, Father, can I use the slide or should I use the swing? All right, makes sense. So I listened to it and I said, you know, there's something wrong with the narrative. I said, what is the narrative? What's wrong with the narrative? The narrative is this. What is wrong is Christian life, you are not in a playground, you are in a battleground. You are not in a playground. Please don't think that you are in a playground. Don't think that this is a place to play. Don't think that life is a game and life is a life, you are in a playground. If you are a child of God, you are not in a playground. You are in a battleground. There is an enemy that wants to take you out and take you down. And if that's the avenue he's going to use, he will employ it. Don't take it lightly. Praise God. Every young man, every young lady in this church, do not take it lightly. Praise the Lord. You need to have biblical foundations for your choices. It's very important. That's why you need to have an ear open to listen to what your parents have to say. I am not advocating saying to yes everything that your parents say. That's not what I'm advocating. At least give them an ear and listen to them. Praise the Lord. At least they have something under their belt which starts with E. What is that? Experience. Listen. Listen. You have nothing to lose. You have nothing to lose. Listen to them. I am telling you, I deal with a lot of people. A lot of colorful destinies are terminated because of wrong choice in this matter. People live in misery, calling it a family. That is not what is intended by God. Many a couples live under one roof, but they have no relationship with each other. Marriage as God has ordained, between a male and a female, between a man and a woman, between a husband and a wife, God initiates that relationship. Praise the Lord. And God encourages intimacy in that relationship. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible is very clear. Any intimacy outside the bounds of marriage, God calls it a violation. God calls it a violation. Now, we live in a world where freedom is celebrated. Where freedom is celebrated. Any intimacy, intimate relationship outside of marriage brings judgment of God, and sometime is the judgment of God. That's what the epistle of Romans teaches us in chapter 1, chapter 2. How we ought to tread this ground carefully. Praise the Lord. Marriage is not exclusive to Christians. Marriage is for all men and women.
Praise the Lord. But as a Christian, as a believer, God's word has certain basic foundations for Christians. Praise the Lord. It starts by saying, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. The Bible forbids yoking with unbeliever because God wants to save you of all the misery that would be in store for you. Praise the Lord. Marriage is not partnership. Why are we talking about marriage? Because family as a unit is important to God. We as a body of Christ, we are made of men and women. We are made of families, and we need to conduct ourselves in a way that aligns ourselves to the word of God. Because when a family is affected, that eventually affects the body of Christ. A healthy family brings a healthy church. Praise God. Marriage is definitely not partnership. Because this is how God put it. And it's very interesting. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Who said it? God said it. Where? In the beginning. In the beginning. It's the dispensation of innocence. A utopian setup. Sin has not crept into the place. Before that, God pronounced, a man shall leave his father and mother, and two shall become cleave to each other, and two shall become one flesh. Even before Adam and Eve became a father and mother, God pronounced it. Praise the Lord. Interesting. God the Father says that in the garden. God the Son says it when he comes to this earth. Matthew chapter 19 verses 5 to 9. Jesus repeats the same thing when he's quizzed about marriage. God the Holy Spirit inspires Apostle Paul in Ephesians, and he says the same thing. For God to repeat it over and over and over again, it means the standards that God has set for marriage, that divine design that God has decreed for marriage, it transcends cultures, it transcends dispensation. It is the same then, and it is the same now. Yeah, we live in a society that is advanced in science and technology. Praise God. Praise God. Use science and technology for the glory of God and for upgrading yourself. Use it. There's nothing wrong in it. But modern world does not define who you are and what's God's purpose concerning you as an individual and as a family. Praise the Lord. Marriage is definitely not partnership, because God said, Jesus said, Holy Spirit through Paul says, 1 + 1 is what? 1 + 1 is one. The two shall become one. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it's not 50-50. You pay the light bill, I'll pay the water bill. I know a lot of people operate like that. I don't know why. It just shows that there is no trust between them. You pray for the engine oil, I'll pray for the transmission fluid. I encourage everybody to have one common purse. It's just good for your family. But then for that to happen, there has to be trust. And when you don't have, that means there is doubt lingering. All right, let's move on. You know, it's a man 100% committed. Marriage is a man 100% committed to his wife. And his wife 100% committed to the husband. Hello. Praise God. And the church said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Together, subdue, have dominion, and multiply. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God created man and woman. And God, through marriage, wants to accomplish
what God created man and woman to do so. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. We need to have healthy families. Healthy families. What should be the environment in your home? Love should be the atmosphere in your home. That doesn't mean that we are absolutely perfect and there are no disagreements or there are no debates. Encourage debates. Resolve disagreements. When you cannot agree, there will be things that you cannot agree. One has to yield to the another. Creating an atmosphere of love and harmony in your home is absolutely important to carry the truth of God's word into your next generation. Praise the Lord. Can you help me? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 2 onwards. I want the church to listen carefully. First Corinthians chapter 7, verses 2 onwards. Since there is so much immorality, we live in a world, not only then, even today. Since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife. Ooh, Sunday morning, is this what you're preaching? Yes, because we want to have a healthy family. The church of the living God has to start with the basic things. Family, each man needs to have his own wife. Read on.
And each woman her own husband.
The husband should fulfill his marital duties. He needs to cherish, he needs to nourish, he needs to feed, he needs to protect, he needs to preserve his family. Yes, go ahead.
And likewise,
the wife to her husband. Read on. The wife's body does not belong to her own alone, but it belongs to her husband. Okay. In the same way,
the husband's body
does not belong to him alone,
but also to his wife.
Praise the Lord. When the Bible says you are one, that means you belong to each other. You belong to each other. You need to take care of your spouse as you would take care of yourself. Go ahead.
Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent.
Do not deprive of each other. He's talking about intimacy in family life. Do not deprive of each other.
Except by mutual consent.
And for a time.
So that you may devote yourselves to prayer.
Praise the Lord. The only time you are exempt. Okay? When is it? Praise the Lord. When you are having an exclusive time in the presence of God. Or when you have an understanding between each other. Okay, go ahead.
Then come together again
so that Satan will not
tempt you because of your lack of self-control.
Listen, when God's word is so crystal clear, every husband, every wife has to pay attention to this. When God gives you a spouse, it becomes your responsibility also to safeguard that intimacy, that bond in the bonds of marriage.
Praise the Lord.
Lest Satan will tempt you.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
It's very important. Loving each other throughout your lifetime is important. You need to tell your husband, I have your back covered. And the husband has to tell his wife, I have your back covered. Praise the Lord. Taking care of each other in a manner that is glorifying God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The boundaries that are set in marriages is only to protect us and to preserve our family. It's not to meant to make us feel like a prison. When you do not have a regenerated mind, a regenerated spirit, a spirit that is not, a mind that is not renewed by the word of God, we start thinking like the world. We look at our family and we feel that we are in a prison. You are not in a prison. You are in a palace. And for a palace to retain its exclusive nature, it needs to have boundary walls that protects itself from all kinds of infiltration of the mind, of the spirit, of the soul, and the body.
Praise the Lord. Praise God.
So safeguard our family. And pass on that heritage to the next generation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, I don't think any of our children will tell that my parents are perfect. Because we are not. Praise the Lord. But we can do our very best and show the reason that we are doing. Praise God. I'm going to conclude. Cultural Christianity is seeping into the systems. The culture of our world, praise the Lord. It starts with our lingos. It starts with our verbiage. We say a lot of things, but it really doesn't mean anything. Praise the Lord. We say praise the Lord. How many of you, when we say praise the Lord, are actually thinking about the Lord and saying praise the Lord? We just say it because it's the thing to say. Praise the Lord. Right? For some of us, it's a filler. That's a filler when there is a gap. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. And you don't know what to say, say glory. Is that what it is? We don't want to just simply go with a culture of using simple verses. The Bible talks about it as having a form but denying its power. Praise the Lord. Let me conclude here. In 2 weeks, we're going to have what? Huh? What are we going to have? I'm sorry. Oh, fasting prayer. Oh, wow. That's nice. At least you guys remember that. Gee, that's very impressive. Good Friday is coming. Easter is coming. That's good. Resurrection Day is coming. Everybody loves Easter. What do you love about Easter? The other day I was visiting in a home and the child ran up to me with an Easter egg. Gave it to me. I said, wow. Easter egg. Can I ask you simply, what does the resurrection of Jesus got to do with Easter eggs and bunnies? What does the resurrection of Jesus have to do with Easter eggs and bunnies? Why am I saying this? Because the church of the living God has to have its foundation as what? Truth. Truth. So in the name of Jesus being resurrected, if we are peddling Easter eggs and bunnies, what is the message that you are giving to your children? go out for the hunting eggs, Easter eggs. Oh, we are smart. I know. We want to make sure that within that egg is Jesus loves you. You put scriptures within that. But let me tell you, whatever you do, try to come as close to the basics of God's word. Try to come as close, especially when you are importing it to the next generation. Chocolates are good. But how do you connect Jesus, who died for my sins, was buried and was resurrected the third day, with the Easter egg and bunnies? Where did it come from? Have you ever bothered to look at it? If you are promoting it and peddling it in the name of presenting the gospel in a much more contemporary way. I don't mean to offend anyone, but we really need to think, where does this come from? Years ago, my friend, Brother Finney Joshua, said it when he was preaching, that if we are not careful, the church will become a place where bingo will be played. Now, one day I was driving through my neighborhood and I saw this big sign which said bingo, and I said, oh my God, Finney Joshua is a prophet. And then every time Halloween comes, one church which has a large yard is full of pumpkins. Is there anything wrong with pumpkins? No. Pumpkin pie, good. But where are we going as the church of the living God? If we want to identify ourselves with something, identify with what the scripture says. Identified with what the scripture says. Do not peddle things which the scripture does not promote. When in doubt, research and find out where in the world does these things come from, and you will be shocked. What's the bottom line? The bottom line is coming back to the basics. Scripture. Coming back to the basics. I started by saying, slowly, accommodation. Slow, compromises, slow. It looks so insignificant, but it just changes the very trajectory of our life. It will just completely change it. It does not happen right away. Slowly, slowly, slowly. Your appetite to accommodate becomes larger and larger, and you just accommodate more and more and more. Finally, the church does not become, looks like anything that the Bible says. There is enough to do what the scripture endorses and promotes. Shall we ask the Lord, Lord, give us the grace. It takes a lot of guts to say no to the world. Praise the Lord. Paul addresses this as another gospel, another Jesus. We are not promoting another gospel, another Jesus. We are promoting the Jesus of the scripture. Shall we close our eyes for a moment? I want you to look into your own family. If you're not married and if you're seeking and searching for a life mate, don't use the analogy of the playground or the slide and the swing. Life is not a slide, it is not a swing. You are not in a playground. You are in a sacred ground. And when you move from the sacred ground, you're moving into a battleground. Praise God. God gives us the tremendous responsibility of grooming and mentoring precious lives that are entrusted into our hands, that we fill their lives with love and care and truth. And we try our very best by the help and the aid of the Holy Spirit to live out the truth. And also teach that we will fall and falter. And when that happens, there is grace available for us.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Young man, young lady, choices. Be careful. Make godly choices. God will help you. God will enable you. God will equip you. Men and women of God, raise up a family that will bring glory to God. Fulfill your marital responsibility, lest your spouse becomes a pawn in the hands of the enemy. Praise God. And when we become a pawn, we become disqualified and discredited. We are not able to speak what we are asked to declare and display and defend. God help us. Praise God. Hallelujah. What do you allow of the culture to seep into your life? Praise God. Celebrate the truth of God's word with truth. Lord, we yield ourselves to you. God, we can't cut it without you. We need you more than ever. I need you more than ever. Grant us the grace to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.